Today I'm going to share on being dressed for eternal success. Did you get that? Dressed for eternal success. In the Torah parasha for today, known as Tetzaveh, from Exodus 28, we read about the holy garments that the Kohen HaKadol, the high priest, were to wear. And it says in Exodus 28, these are the garments that they are to make. A breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a tunic of checkered work, a turban and a sash. They are to make holy garments for your brother Aaron and his sons, so that they may minister to me as a Kohen, as a priest. They are to use the gold, the purple, the blue, the scarlet, and fine linen. Now before the Kohen Kadol, the high priest of Israel, who in this case was the brother of Moses, was allowed to step behind the veil and enter into the Holy of Holies, he had to be clothed properly. He had to be wearing the right garments. And these garments represented so much more that we can't really cover all of it today, but I want to show you some of the symbolism in these garments. Every high priest, every Kohen Gadol, from the time of Aaron all the way until the temple was destroyed in 70 CE, wore similar garments. And anyone attempting to minister before the Lord without the proper attire would face rejection and death. Now we all recall the parable of the wedding feast that Yeshua spoke to us about in Matthew 22, starting in verse 10. And listen to what he says. Matthew 22, verse 10 through 14. And those servants went into the highways, and they gathered together all the people they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was filled with all sorts of people, with guests. But when the king came in, and he looked at all the guests, he saw a man there that wasn't dressed in wedding clothes. But the man was silent. Then the king said to his servants, tie him up hand and foot and throw him into utter darkness. In that place will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. And we know in this case of the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, that he was chosen and he was to wear these holy garments. So in light of this passage and others, we have to realize that before any human being can pass beyond the veil of death and stand in the presence of a holy God, that person, be it you or me, better make sure that we have on the proper garment. One day soon there'll be another wedding feast, and it's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. And no one will be there without the proper garments. And I'll explain that, okay? Don't worry. These garments will be robes of pure white, made clean by the blood of the bridegroom, Yeshua the Messiah. Thank you, Lord, for that. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 through 14 says, but in keeping with His promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Therefore, loved ones, while you are looking for these things, make every effort to be found in peace, spotless and blameless before Him. Also, we see in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27, it tells His husbands, love your wives, just as Messiah also loved the community and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, having cleansed her by the immersion in the Word. Messiah did this so that He may present to Himself His glorious community, not having stain or wrinkle or any such thing, but in order that she might be holy and blameless. You know, as we look at what's known as the Mishkan, or the tabernacle that was established in the wilderness, and then it became in Israel during the time of Samuel and so forth, up until the time that David made plans for the temple and Solomon built it. As we look at this Mishkan, this tabernacle, and the Kohen Gadol, this high priest, we have to remember that there was one man who ultimately was responsible for that Mishkan, that tabernacle. And all the daily offerings and all the functions and all the regular feasts that had to do with it. Numbers of times during the year, this Kohen Gadol, this high priest, would personally offer up sacrifices and make sure that every ordinances in regard to those and the temple were observed. It was at Passover and Shavuot and at Yom Kippur. And also during the time of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles as well. But on Yom Kippur, that Day of Atonement, it was the personal responsibility of this Kohen Gadol, this high priest, to take the blood of the sacrifice and take it into the Holy of Holies on behalf of all of God's people so that they could receive forgiveness of their sins. His responsibility required that he would be a sanctified person, that he would be dressed in holy garments. Now the uppermost holy garment was called the ephod. And on top of this ephod, there was a square breastplate. And on this breastplate, there were 12 precious stones mounted in the center of it. And on the shoulders are two additional precious stones. And the blue garment is called the robe. And under the robe, this Kohen Gadol, this high priest, wore a white linen tunic. And on his head is a white linen turban. And round the base of the turban, there was a crown of gold there. And a golden band inscribed with the words, Kadosh L'Adonai, holy to the Lord. He was to be holy, sanctified and consecrated and made holy to the Lord. And all these garments and all these items have great importance and great significance. Hopefully I can relay some of these to you. Some of these things that these garments tell us about our great Kohen Gadol, our great high priest, Yeshua, the Messiah, who is now seated with power and glory at the Father's right hand in heaven. The description and instructions for making all these garments are found in Exodus chapter 28, verses 4 through 43. Now the ephod had four colors on it, blue, purple, scarlet, and white of the fine linen. These are the same colors that were on the door of the outer court, the door to the sanctuary, and in the area where the veil, the curtain was. And all of these colors represent Yeshua in his various aspects. The purple represented Yeshua as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the scarlet represented him as that sacrificial, perfect Lamb of God. And I missed the blue, didn't I? I skipped right over. The blue represented his deity, that he was God, the great I Am. And lastly, the white linen represented Yeshua as the righteous judge. Each one of these colors represented Yeshua in a way. And there was another important feature added to this ephod. It was the pure gold thread, cut from solid gold plating that was interwoven with all these other colors. And these gold threads not only represented the riches of God's love and grace, but His divine power and God's eternal existence. And on each shoulder piece of the ephod was a precious stone. Six names were written on each of these stones, altogether naming the 12 tribes of Israel. And every time the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, went before God at this altar of incense, the names of all the peoples of God were upon his shoulders. He was going in, carrying all the people on his shoulders, interceding for them, for that nation in prayer. And Yeshua is the good shepherd who knows his sheep and goes after each one that's lost in sin. When he finds a sheep that's lost, he lays them on his shoulder, just like the high priest lays the names of the tribes of Israel upon his shoulders. And he carries them back into the fold for safety, just as the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, brought them before the altar of the living God and interceded for them. He is everlasting, interceding for his people, ever carrying them back into the fold. Now this breastplate was square, and it was embroidered with gold. And set into the breastplate in gold bases were 12 precious stones, and one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And these 12 precious stones show us that this good shepherd knows his sheep so well that he calls each of them by his own name. And this Kohen Gadol, this high priest, bears the names on his breastplate over his heart when he goes in before the Lord as a memorial showing us that God's love for his people is eternal and perfect. While each of these 12 tribes represented there, not one stone appeared on the breastplate containing a name of any other people, any other tribe, any other nation, except those who were God's chosen people. Those who have not accepted Yeshua the Messiah as their Lord and Redeemer and have not confessed Him to be their great high priest are not represented before the presence of God. Only those who have given their life over to Yeshua. And that includes all of us here, both the physical seed and the spiritual seed of Abraham. And while God loves all men equally, He has made promises to only those who love and serve Him. All other people will not share in this special relationship that you and I have as we stay close to the heart of God. The rest of humanity still stands in the outer court of the Mishkan, the tabernacle. They have not yet entered in through the door. And they are thieves and they are robbers, having no place in the temple of God. As the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, goes about doing his duties in the holy place, wearing this breastplate with the engraved names, he passes the menorah, he passes the lampstand, where light shines onto all these names that he bears. And he passes by the table of showbread, where the names are linked with one another in fellowship of nourishment through Yeshua, who is the bread of life. He passes by the altar of incense, where he bears the names individually and collectively before God, praying that each member of each tribe may be given eternal life. And all this is a picture of our great high priest and what Yeshua has done and still does for every one of his people who are his own. Now the breastplate was folded double to form a pocket. And inside this pocket is where the Urim and Thummim were kept. And Urim means the lights, and Thummim means perfections. And these were two special stones that were often used in making judgments on behalf of matters before the courts of Israel. And according to Jewish tradition, this is how the decisions were made with these two stones, the Urim and Thummim. When someone had to make an important decision, the request was made known to the Kohen Gadol, this high priest, and he would stand before the lampstand, holding the Urim in one hand and Thummim in the other hand. And as the light reflected from the menorah upon the Urim and the Thummim onto the stones of the 12 tribes upon the breastplate, this flash of light provided up to 24 combinations, 2 times 12. And since there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, the flashes of light would produce strings of letters. And as God breathed through the ark, the veil would move, permitting a breeze to flicker the flames in the menorah to momentarily alter the angle of the direction of the light upon the Urim and the Thummim and onto the breastplate. Thus God was able to communicate directly, but not audibly, to the Kohen Gadol and answer the inquiry. And according to some of the things that we see now going place in Israel now with the Temple Mount Institute and all the construction and all the plans that are taking place for the building of the third temple. A lot of research going on, a lot of planning. The 12 types of stone in the breastplate have been found and they've been identified. And each of them supposedly had some special healing powers. The stone of Reuben, which was the ruby, is good for pregnant women because it strengthens the heart and calms the mood. The stone of Simon, the topaz, somehow aids in cleansing the blood and teaching the benefit of doubt. Or teaches the benefit of the doubt. The stone of Levi, the beryl, increases wisdom and aids in learning. The stone of Judah, the turquoise, calms the mood and removes worry from us. The stone of Issachar, the sapphire, strengthens the eyes and brings peace. The stone of Zebulun, the diamond, brings longevity and helps in earning of livelihood. The stone of Dan, the jacinth, strengthens a weak heart and brings joy and success to the wearer. The stone of Naphtali, the agate, brings peace and happiness and repels the evil eye. The stone of Gad, the jasper, gives strength and removes worry and fear. And the stone of Asher, the emerald, increases wisdom, gives courage, and the wearer finds favor in the eyes of fellow man, and it brings success in business. The stone of Yossi, the onyx, is a remedy for restoring memory and improving sight, and enables the wearer to speak wisely. And lastly, the stone of Benjamin, the jade, prevents hemorrhaging, improves sight, and aids in childbirth. I guess all 12 of them, I'd love to have all 12 of them, that all 12 will add and bless our life. Now the robe was made entirely of blue fabric. It had a hem where pomegranates in blue and purple and scarlet were attached. And alternating between these pomegranates were these golden bells. And as the Kohen Gadol would move about the tabernacle, these golden bells could be heard as a testimony that he was serving the Lord. They produced a beautiful sound, backed up by beautiful fruits, showing us that there is to be an equal balance of words and deeds as we serve the Lord. Now the turban, or the mitre that was worn, was made of pure white linen, signifying righteous thinking and meditation about the holiness of God's Torah. God's word must be always on our mind as a covering for our thought process. We read in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself up against the knowledge of God, we take every thought captive and we make it obedient to the Messiah. As part of our service to the Lord, we are to take on that whole armor of God. And part of that armor is listed in Ephesians 6:17, that we are to take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now attached again to this turban, or this mitre's cap, it's also known, and on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, was a crown, as I mentioned earlier. And on that crown there was a gold plate which says, Kadosh le'Adonai, or Holy to the Lord, was engraved. The seal of God is ever present on the head of Yeshua the Messiah, for he is holy and he is Lord and he is our great Kohen Gadol, our great high priest. But for us, he has also made us priests. There's a clear indication that we are not just to be outwardly dressed in Messiah, but we must be occupied as well in our heart and our mind. Romans 12:1 through 2 says, I urge you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect. And Ephesians 4:23 through 24 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man which is being created to God in true righteousness and in holiness. Now, as beautiful as all these garments were, God would never allow a man to share in his glory. And before the Kohen Gadol, this high priest, would enter into the Holy of Holies, he couldn't wear all these beautiful things. He had to remove the beauty and be clothed only in pure white linen. And as we stand before the Lord one day, it's not going to be with garments of gold and garments of silver or with precious stones upon them. No. We would love to be able to walk into heaven wearing all the Jews? That too. We'll bring them all to heaven. We would love to be able to walk into heaven wearing all the jewels and the glory that we've gained in the flesh, but God won't allow anyone to share in His glory because He has paid the price for our salvation, and nothing we do will ever earn that salvation for us. Because it says in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not for ourselves, it's a gift of God, it's not based on deeds, so that no man may boast." Before we enter in, we must enter through the power of the Kohen Gadol, through the power of the high priest, Yeshua our Messiah. Before we can experience eternal life in its fullness, we have to go beyond the veil of this life that separates us from being in the throne room of heaven. We must somehow get beyond that veil, but there it is, blocking our view, standing in our path of glory of God. It won't be long before each one of us here passes beyond that veil. And that veil is represented by our flesh. We are unable to go where Yeshua is because flesh cannot enter there. It must be ripped away, torn away, taken away for us to be able to enter into the presence of the living God. For it says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19 through 25, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Yeshua." He inaugurated a new and a living way through the curtain that is His flesh. We also have a Kohen Gadol over God's household. So let us draw near with a true heart to full assurance of faith, with hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the unwavering confession of hope, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good deeds. And do not neglect our own meetings, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more so as you see the day approaching. Before that day comes, let's clothe ourselves in the beauty of God's grace, His love, His mercy, and His righteousness. Keep yourselves unspotted from this world. The only garment you'll wear when you go beyond that veil, the flesh, is that white robe of righteousness given to you by Yeshua the Messiah. Isaiah 61, verse 10 says, "I will rejoice greatly in Adonai. My soul will be joyful in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me in a robe of righteousness, like a bridegroom wearing a priestly turban, like a bride adoring herself with jewels." And Revelation 7, 9 through 10 says, "And after these things I look, and behold, was a vast multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from every tribe, and from every tongue. They were standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes, with palm branches, lulavs in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" And also in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 through 8, it says, "Let us rejoice, let us be glad and give the glory, all glory to Him, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. She has given fine linen to wear, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the Kiddushim, the holy ones." All of us in this room today should be getting ready to go beyond the veil. That is, going beyond the flesh. All that this world holds can never compare with the glory of that day when we will enter into heaven's gates. Nothing can compare to that. Many have gone before us, and we will see them there, our loved ones. Most of us, most of all, we will see Yeshua, our great Kohen Gadol, our great high priest. But we won't see him only in the white robe. We'll see him in all of his glory and all of his power. And let me conclude with these words from Revelation 19, starting verse 12. And it says, his eyes are like a flame of fire, and many royal crowns are upon his head. And he has a name written that no one knows except himself. He is clothed in a robe that's dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him upon white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations. And he shall roll them with an iron rod, and he treads the winepress of the furious wrath of Elohei Tzevaot, God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, we look forward to that day when we will be going beyond this life, beyond the veil, beyond our flesh, O Lord. As we stand before you wearing white robes, fine linen that have been washed by the blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, help us to be dressed for that eternal success. Help us to get ready for that day by cleansing our lives of everything that separates us from our King, our Messiah, our God. Let us be a people who operate and walk continually in repentance, Lord. Repenting of the works of the flesh. Repenting of our failures and disobedience. Repenting, O God, of our lack of diligence of praying and searching your word and fasting, sitting in your presence, O God. That we might present ourselves before you holy and clean, O God. I pray, Father, for those of us who are struggling, where we have sins yet in our lives that entrap us and hold us down and our heavy burdens on our shoulders, O Lord. I pray in Yeshua's name, O God, that you would deliver us and set us free of those things. Let us all confess our sins before a holy God, who is merciful and gracious and just and forgiving. Lord, we know that day is coming. Help us to be ready and prepared. And just as Billy Graham said once again, O God, thank you, Lord.